In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This story about the healing of the dead man, that is the resurrection of the dead man, who was the son of the widow of Nain, has much to teach us about how God approaches us. There are two things that strike me the most when I read this story. And that is, the first is that there are two crowds that meet. And Luke is surprised. He says, the day after that he went into a city called Nain, many of his disciples were with him with much people. Now when they came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there's a great crowd. A dead man being carried out. In the front of the procession is the widow. And the dead man is her only son. Nain is just a little backwater place. It's just a flyover city. It's just a place that you go through to get to another place. Just a little tiny town of no significance. But it was significant for the Lord. So there's this big crowd that's following the Lord. They had just seen healings, miracles galore. They were excited. They were happy. Probably they were talking amongst themselves and laughing and looking with great expectation to the next great thing that would happen. They weren't looking for a widow who had lost her son. But the Lord was. And so this big crowd meets a smaller crowd. And the Lord is watching out for her. And he comes up to her. Now, this is our life in microcosm. Because I tell you as a pastor, and you should know it just as a regular human being, everybody's struggling. Everybody. So a big happy crowd is not really full of happy people. Not everybody. We all have our struggles. We all have our difficulties. And there are some people that are having great struggles. Even right now in our temple, there is someone who has a great struggle that they don't know how to handle. The Lord knows this. Sometimes we know it. We should know it. We should be aware and open to the needs of others. And these two great crowds that come together, one full of happiness, expectation, seeing great things, and the other one full of sadness. And most of the people in that crowd, well nigh 99.9% of the crowd, would not have even noticed this widow and the procession, except that the Lord took notice of it. This is important for us to note. Be aware of the needs of others. Be aware of everyone's struggle. No matter what situation you're in, whether it's a Christmas party or whether it's in the temple or whether or not it's walking to work and a homeless man approaches you. Be aware of people's needs. This is a Christian thing. This is a godly thing. When we are aware of others' needs and react to them, we are acting like God. And indeed we should, since God made us in his image and after his likeness. So that's the first thing that really strikes me. How much sorrow there is in the world and how little we see it. We feel our own sorrow. Perhaps we feel the sorrow of those close to us. But do we feel the sorrow of others? And then also, the Lord communicated with this woman three times. If you read carefully, you'll see three times, three different ways that he communicated with her. And this is, in microcosm, our prayer to God and how he communicates with us. First of all, he sees the procession and he calls out to the woman, "Weep not." It would seem like a cruel command to many people. But to a Christian, he should understand. With the Lord, there should be no weeping. If the Lord abides in us, then he will help us in all things. Even if that thing which we desire so much, we have not obtained. We should not be weeping for ourselves. We should be weeping for our sins. But that's a different kind of weeping. That's a weeping where we are seeking God. the weeping just of sorrow should not occur in a Christian. Because we lost our job, because someone has died, because someone is no longer our friend, or because we don't have the things we want, or we don't have the prestige we want, all these other things that the world weeps for. The Lord says, weep not to the woman. And he says, weep not to us, because he is near us. Always. So a Christian who has good faith, lives a righteous life, that's all he needs to hear from the Lord is weep not. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need, as Thomas needed, to thrust his hand into the side. He doesn't need that because he knows the Lord is present in his life in all things. But we need more sometimes. And so the Lord went to the bier and he touched it. And then they stopped moving because he was impeding their progress. This is a deeply significant act. Not only is it significant because it shows God's great love for us, but also because they stopped. They stood still and they could hear what the Lord was about to say. This we must exercise in our own life. We must stand still. We must shut up. We must listen in deep prayer to God. The Jesus prayer is the best for this. There are other prayers as well. But you should be praying in your closet, begging the Lord to help you and your loved ones. And be quiet. And listen for the Lord, just as Elias listened. And he didn't hear the Lord in the loud things. He heard him in the little tinkling of the wind and the rustle of the leaves. So we must be quiet to hear what the Lord has to say to us. You have to stand still. A friend of mine that I miss very much used to say that you cannot hear a conversation with someone when there's a railroad running through your head. You ever stood next to a train when it goes by? It's incredibly loud. You can't even hear a person that is shouting to you, that is standing right next to you. I've done it as a boy many times. It's not to be recommended, but I did it. You can't hear God if there's all this mess in your life. If there's all this loudness, all this passion, all these desires for things, all this distraction. You gotta slow down. You've gotta listen. You've gotta be quiet to hear the Lord. Most of us aren't very quiet very often because we have scattered minds. Our society helps contribute to that, but ancient man also had trouble with being quiet. We have more distractions that are around us. We carry them in our pocket now. You must learn to be quiet and seek the Lord. That's why I tell you so often about reading the Gospels and saying the Jesus prayer. Because that's how you're going to learn how to be quiet. You read the Gospels and you learn to be what kind of person you should be. And you see greatness in the Gospels. Things that just jump off the page after you've read them for the 100th time. You might not understand it at the 99th time. But the 100th time, God fills you with some knowledge that you need to have if you're quiet. And then the other way the Lord communicated with the woman, after he said, weep not, which should have been enough, and after he touched the bier and made it stop and made them be still, he resurrected her son. The thing which she desired so much that she hadn't even asked for, but God knew she needed, he did. God will give us what we need. He will fulfill our requests. The scripture is full of promises that he will fulfill the things that we desire. All we need do is ask and keep on asking and be quiet and live with faith. Now, I really believe that the way that we have this understanding of God in the way he communicates with us is if we learn to love. And the example of God's love, it jumps off the page for this woman of Nain. A nobody. Somebody who was basically no longer important in society. She didn't have a son. She didn't have a husband. She had no means of living. Nobody cared. She was going to have trouble even eating every day. She might lose her home. She was going to be the forgotten of the society, because that society was not kind to widows. It was not kind to the unfortunate, to the sick. But the Lord knew her, and the Lord loved her. And the Lord actually made sure that he went through Nain at the time that the procession was occurring so that he would heal her son and raise him from the dead and also heal her soul. The word that is used in when it says the Lord had compassion on her is actually much stronger in Greek. I don't know the Greek word by heart, but I know what it means. It means to have love welling up from your bowels, welling up from inside. Not just everyday compassion, but to have a depth of love that is absolute and that compels a person to act. I think a lot of times we have love, but it's not deep love welling up from us. It's sort of concern. Concern is not love. Love is when we are compelled to act for the one we love. When we must act, when there is something within us forcing us to act. It's not God forcing us. It is our own will that will not abide by the one we love suffering. And that is the love that the Lord had for this woman, this nobody, that nobody would have noticed except he stopped. And that is the love which we must have. Because if we do, then the Lord fills our heart. And it will be enough when the Lord says, "Weep not." We'll hear that. We won't need him to go and do everything that we desire and make it so manifest openly. Because we know that everything is according to his will. And we will live with confidence. We will love. We'll live with strength. We'll live with happiness. Even if we suffer, our physical, emotional suffering, that's just human stuff. We're called to be human like our Lord is human. And that means that we will have this deep knowledge of God within ourselves, being deeply anointed as he was with the Holy Spirit. And we will have great confidence in everything we do, that it all works out to the glory of God. And that it is all part of his plan. So we won't need him to go around touching the bier and saying, "Okay, Seraphim, I'm going to fix this for you because of your weak faith." We won't need that. If we love, that's the key to love. There were two healings around this time. One was the centurion, which was just before this, which was the faith of the centurion was very evident. And then this woman of Nain, it says nothing of her faith. We don't know if she had faith or not. We know that she had great need. But we see that the Lord spoke to her in such a way as he would speak to someone such as us who should have faith. So the healing of the woman of Nain, the preeminent thing that is shown is love. The Lord's deep welling up love from his bowels for this woman that we should copy and emulate. But also, the Lord shows that along with this love, we must have faith. Because the Lord will communicate with us all the time, but it's not going to be always completely open or even understood by us. And it's not going to be according to our timing. It's going to be according to his timing. So we must love. And with love opens the heart, and then we have faith, and the Lord will work in our lives, and we will understand him to work in our lives. We'll see everything as a miracle, and it is what the Lord is doing in people's lives. And we'll never ever be part of a crowd that is just happy and joyous and not noticing that other people are suffering. We have to be aware of people's needs, because then we're like God. And you know, we were born to be like God. We're born to know Him. We can't know Him unless we become like Him. So the whole purpose of our life is to emulate what the Lord has done, to become like Him. So God help us to always be aware of people's needs and to act upon them, to be forced to act upon them, not by outside forces, but by our inner compulsion because of this deep love within us. And if there is deep love within us, then absolutely God is within us. And if God is within us, then we will have great faith and God will help us in all things. This is the key, brothers and sisters. I've told you many, many times. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it a thousand times if God allows me breath before I die again. And that is, if you have a problem in your life, if you're sad about something, if something really eats at you, if you're depressed, if there's something that's a habitual habit, if you're very angry about something, if something just doesn't seem right to you, it's out of sorts to you. The problem is you, not that thing. Not the bad boss, not the poverty, not the sickness. The problem is you. The problem is your sins. So if you look out for others, if you pray for others, think about others, then God will fill you with Himself. And all that will be necessary is for Him to say, "Weep not." And you will understand that because you know that God is with you. May God help us to fulfill this. Amen.